Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who can still look intimidating in leg warmers, Pete Schwabba.
Do not re-gift food, people. If you take one thing away from tonight's show, if you get bologna, do not pass it along. Eat it or toss it. That's my advice tonight. And that is what our question of the night is. What gift would you have no trouble re-gifting, or what would you pass along immediately? We've got some great text so far. Here's one. This is, I think, the 608. The Chia Pet. Okay. The Ginsu knife and the clapper are all being gift forwarded, or especially now. It was like 30 years ago. But oddly, I would love a Vegematic if anyone could find one. I guarantee in Marinette, Wisconsin, you would find a Vegematic at a garage sale. No doubt in my mind. And then there's a couple more. Text coming in on like 18 different avenues here. Rico from Rock County. Oh, that was, I just read Rico's text. Okay. And from the 262, this is Greg from Waukesha. I would either re-gift socks or coffee. Yeah, that's tough. You know, sometimes I get coffee as a gift and I just keep it as like a, it's like the safety coffee, unless I'm out, because it's usually a Christmas blend or some kind of flavor I'm not a big fan of, but I will keep it just in case. And I'll disagree again, Greg. I'm going to go socks, because socks, they're just a nuisance. I don't want to buy them. So I love when I get them as a gift. I'm not excited when I get them. It's like, oh, okay. But if they're re-gifts, I don't mind as long as they're new. I don't want to wear someone's old socks or old underpants. This is from the 920 about our Milwaukee being one of the friendliest cities in America. The friendliest town in Wisconsin is Wayne, close to Kewaskum, home of CeCe's, where he holds the record of selling more Busch Light over a million cans. Okay. Wow. That's really... Conrad, isn't that where you're from?
Yeah, I actually worked there for like 2 weeks.
You worked at CeCe's?
I did. I cleaned after Saturday night, and that was the worst job.
And they've served over a million cans of Busch Light?
Because they sell them for $1.
Oh.
So I actually went up to $1.50 because of inflation, but, you know.
Well, whether you like Busch Light or not, go to CeCe's for the big, big savings. That's the message. Hey, we have another guest here I'm really excited to welcome to the show. I've got a lot of music questions for this guy, but he's a musician, and he's one of the hosts of Max Inc. and a Civic Media personality as well. So please welcome to the show, Rocker. Hey, Rocker.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good to be
on the show. Thank you.
Hey, it's great to have you here. I don't even know where to start with you, because I have a lot of, you have a really interesting history and you have a lot of cool stuff. So let's just jump right in. First of all, the one name thing, I love it. How did you decide, and now you're a musician, so Rocker's a no-brainer, but how did you come to that name?
You know, the people decided that one. I'm just Rocker, but I'll tell you, when I went to Iceland, I was on tour with a band called Last Crack, and I was at a bar. And I went up to the bar, and there was this drunk Icelander guy, and I wrote my name on the napkin with the umlauts, and I said, how do you pronounce that? And he looked at me, he goes, Rocker. And I thought, you know, that's good enough for me.
So I did say it right. See, I had an accent.
Truly are, my friend.
I was using an accent, that's right. So I read your bio. You're a New York guy, and you ended up in Wisconsin, and you never went back. And there's a lot of people like you in Madison. What makes you stay in Madison and not go back home to New York?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I moved out here. My dad was a GE guy. So, you know, I came out here with the family and actually graduated from high school in Waukesha. But
oh, okay.
It was when I came here into Madison to the UW to go to school and, you know, fell in love with the city and the university and especially the music scene. And so, I mean, just the way the music was, original music, the bands, the energy, the young people, you know, I could never leave. And in fact, I still feel the same age as when I came here at 19.
Oh, that's great. do you miss New York at all?
Well, I go back there from time to time. Sure. You know, but no, I don't miss it. I've traveled some, so, you know, I'm good. I love Madison. I think that you get in Madison, you get kind of a big city feel, but you're still kind of in a small town. I mean, you can still get to one side to the other in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yet,
you know, we get some really nice stuff here that you might see in larger urban areas.
I totally agree with you on that. So you're tied in with the music scene in Wisconsin, specifically Madison. Can you tell us a little bit about it? We have listeners all over the state. Why should they go to Madison? Where should they go? And who should they hear?
Wow. Well, that's
a 12-part question.
I would say that, you know, Madison as a music scene is very unique, even in Wisconsin. Of course, you know, I've seen over the years we've been voted within the top 10 music scenes across the country. And I think that a big reason for that is that the way that the Madison crowd here really just loves original music. And it seems that in the downtown area, you have a lot of younger people, you have a lot of professionals, you have the Capitol, you have all the state stuff, and of course the university. And so you really have an influx and an outflux of a lot of people coming in and out, whether it's school or work, and very talented people and intellectual people. And they're not necessarily, you know, you can't really find necessarily the band, the cover band that's, you know, Ozzy Osbourne to Tom Petty in the downtown area. Really, that it's really original bands.
Yeah. You know?
And kind of the cover bands you start to see, you know, kind of out towards the edge of the city or, you know, around Wisconsin, cover bands are very popular. And I love some cover bands, and tribute bands are fun. But, you know, when it really comes down to it, music is about making original songs. And right. And I think that Madison really stands alone in its support for local music and original music. And Milwaukee's, you know, they have a giant scene there as well. But of course you still have a very generous amount of cover music. And in fact, I think that you find in Milwaukee, sometimes it's harder to have bands who only play original. You know, they might play original, but then they have to, you know, throw in covers and stuff. So Madison is a place where it really supports that original music, and that's unique even in the country.
That's really cool. It's funny you say that about cover bands. Like, I remember when I was younger in my 20s and I would hear a band hit the scene with a cover tune, it would bother me. I'd be so mad. I'm like, really? This is what's breaking you onto the scene, is a song that's already been done? And I've sort of mellowed out about that. And now I spend many a night on YouTube losing myself to find different versions of a Smashing Pumpkins song, yeah, or whatever. And I go down a rabbit hole with it. And pretty soon you've watched 8 hours of 4-minute videos, you know? So,
I mean, it's a pretty crazy thing. And then you have, you know, tribute bands,
yeah,
that are maybe tributing people. You have, you know, bands that just kind of cover a wide variety of stuff. Every band like that has their place. Now, one great thing I love about Madison is that we have some tribute bands here, like VO5.
Yeah, I've heard them. They're great.
Steely Dane, right?
Yeah.
They're made up of local musicians who are also in other original bands. Like, it's kind of almost like, in a way, like a side project or one of the projects. So it's not like they get together just to do that.
Yeah.
They're already in original bands, and so I find it, you know, like local all-stars make up some of the tribute bands,
which I find that
to be, you know, incredibly fun, and, you know, they get a great following because of it.
It's funny, my wife told me about 2 years ago, she's not a big music person, and she's like, well, I'm going to this concert in Milwaukee, my two sisters and my friend are dragging me. I'm like, who are you going to see? She goes, Steely Dan. I'm like, oh, that's cool. She goes, yes. I said, how much are the tickets? Like, and it was like $30. I'm like, what? $30 for Steely Dan? That doesn't sound right. I mean, I know this, they're getting older, but come on.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
then it was Steely Dane. I'm like, oh. She goes, oh, I'm not even going to see the real Steely Dan. But she said they were amazing.
Oh, yes.
That's cool.
So yes, they're all great friends of mine.
Yeah, I'm talking to Rocker. He's got one name, and I think that's so cool. And he is the host of Max Inc. here on Civic Media and a very well-known musician around the Madison area. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Max Inc. Rocker? Terry was here. Terry Bauer was here a few minutes ago, but she didn't say.
I heard.
Yeah. When can people listen to Max Inc. and tell us a little bit about the show?
So Max Inc. Radio is every Saturday night from 6 p.m. till midnight. It's a long show, 6 hours. It's kind of broken up into three basic parts. So we have from 6 to 9, we're playing music from Wisconsin-based artists, just their songs. And then we have interviews, feature interviews that we talk to artists and different personalities, business entrepreneurs, from 6 to 9 p.m. That's all interspersed. At 9 p.m., we have what's called Live in the Lair. Terry kind of talked about this, and it's an hour-long segment where we feature one artist. They play about 6 songs, and then we interview between each song. And as Terry said, you really get to know the person. I mean, we ask a lot of questions, and we really get to know, like, each individual artist so that it's definitely more in-depth, plus you get to hear them live. And over, I think we've done nearly 100 Live in the Lairs so far, and we've had just amazing performances from, you know, hugely popular artists down to, you know, artists you've never heard before.
Yeah.
And the one commonality is every one of them has literally been amazing. I don't think I can remember a poor performance. And people come in and they love to play their music and have an inspired performance. And that's Live in the Lair from 9 to 10 p.m. on Saturdays. And then 10 p.m. to midnight, we have Max Inc. Heavy. So we kind of roll up the sleeves, roll up the pant legs, and we get into it. It's Wisconsin heavy metal, hard rock, and punk. And we do interviews there as well. Essential Last Crack at 11. And then the whole thing repeats midnight to 6 a.m. And then repeats again 6 p.m. to midnight on Sunday. So if you miss Saturday, you're out. You can also catch it on Sunday.
Or if you already heard it and you want to hear it again, that's fine too.
Yeah.
Can you hang around for like 60 seconds, Rocker? We just got to do some business. All right, I'm talking to Rocker, the host of Max Inc. here on Civic Media News. Civic Media News, Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pete Schwabba, and this is Nightlight. Thanks for being with me. She told me it can break your heart out. I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me, and I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. It's National Regifting Day. That's right, folks. It's the second thought that counts. And that's our question tonight. What would you regift immediately? What would you pass along and have no trouble doing it? Some great, great answers so far. Someone from the 715 says sweaters. Sweaters is tough. Unless you really know the person, that's a tough one because you don't know what people are wearing. Is it Argyle? Is it button down, V-neck, vest? You got your whole acrylics. What am I trying to say? Wool. I don't know. You got a lot to choose from. And then another one from the 715. I agree about the clapper. A lot of people want to move that clapper along. Never had the guts to try it. I am talking with Rocker. He is the host of Max Inc. on Civic Media from 6 p.m. on Saturday nights all the way to midnight. That's a lot of show. And you could check it out every Saturday night. And Rocker, it's funny. I used to do stand-up comedy in the 90s, and I would work a club called Funny Business in Madison. It was right down from where the one is now, but closer to the Capitol. And I had no idea when I would drive into Madison a couple times a year on East Wash that I was passing the Smart Studios and Butch Vig's little outfit there. No idea that was there until I saw a documentary about it. Have you ever crossed paths with Butch? I interviewed him on TV once. He was great.
Oh, yeah. I've talked to Butch a couple times, and I've recorded at Smart Studios.
Have you?
With one of my bands, Bradley Fish's Electrified Band, with
great
Mike
name.
Zirkle at that point. And, I've attended different parties and such over the years. One really crazy memory I have of Smart Studios is back in, I want to say, like 1994-ish, we had some flooding in Madison, in East Washington, flooded like a few feet, right?
Whoa.
And you know, when you're driving through it, it was coming underneath your floorboards. And I remember after the flood happened, I stopped in and talked to my friend Paulie, who was managing Smart Studios at the time. And he opened the door to the basement of Smart Studios, and it was water at the top of the stairs, right? So their whole basement was filled with water. Well, in that basement were, you know, original tapes from Nirvana and, you know,
wow,
all these crazy Smashing Pumpkins and Last Crack and, you know, all these, you know, vintage recording gear instruments and, you know, I mean, if you can imagine, it's Smart Studios, right? And
yeah,
what's in their basement, you know, and they just lost so much. It was actually just an incredible loss. But that was a great studio. You know, Butch is a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
They couldn't keep going on. The music industry had changed for, you know, high-level studios like that. But, yeah, right there in East Wash, nobody knew. They're driving by, honking their horn. Maybe they're on an album.
Yeah, it's kind of sad when you drive by it now. I mean, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. But it's kind of cool that it's in Madison there and part of the scene.
Well, you know what they're doing with it now?
What?
They're turning that into a bed and breakfast. And they're going to keep some of the recording studio element in there.
Very nice.
And so it's going to kind of be this really, you know, boutique bed and breakfast type place in Madison.
I hope they fix it up a little. It could use a hug. It's a little run down.
Well, but, you know, it's beautiful on the inside.
Is it? Yeah, I would imagine. Hey, tell us a little bit about Atwood Fest in Madison.
Atwood Fest. Wow. Well, that one is one that's really close to my heart. Back in 2002, I was asked to go through local band tapes to identify good bands that would be able to play at what was then Atwood Summerfest, which was in its about 20th year at that time. And so that started me as a music programmer at that festival in 2002. And over the 20 years now that I've been booking that music festival, it has grown to a festival that probably attracts, you know, 30,000 or more people per year over 2 days. We have three stages, more than 30 bands, and, you know, a whole ton of food and up, you know, vendor alley crafts. And it's just a really fun community festival that has just incredible music. And because I get to pick the music, I personally think it's pretty incredible. And but, you know, it's just been a lot of fun. And my mom, for 20 years, you know, she cooked the band for food for all the bands. So we feed over 200 people over 3 days that are musicians and they're kind of, you know, other people that come with them. Backstage, we call that Mama Rocker's Band Bistro. And Mama Rocker actually retired, and Alice, my wife, took over backstage. And I think it's, you know, it's really the heart of the festival because the musicians come there and they're treated excellent, and they go on stage and have just amazing performances. And, you know, I mean, the way
full stomachs,
people
react, it sounds like.
Oh, it's really a great time. The last Saturday and Sunday, the last weekend in July every year, and it's a free festival down on Atwood Avenue. They close off the street. And
so when you said the last week of July is when it takes place?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Nice. Good to know. Okay, so it says on your website or the bio you gave me, you also sell real estate. Have you ever gotten a gig while showing a house, and have you ever sold a house while at a gig? Do the two intertwine at all?
Well, you know how they intertwine is that, you know, musicians are always looking, you know, in renting situations and looking to get out. And, you know, everybody's moving around. So, you know, my network is a lot of musicians. And
sure,
like at Atwood Fest, I really represent the musicians. You know, I'm almost like their lawyer, if you will, and I really treat them well. So they know that I'm going to stand up for them, you know, when they're looking, selling a property. You know, I'll represent them.
That's so
cool. I'm tenacious.
We got about a minute left. So what is your favorite venue to play, and who are your musical influences? And if you can do it in less than a minute.
I would say Tool is one of my favorite bands, you know, Led Zeppelin. I would say my favorite club isn't around anymore, the Frequency, just a great little club with an awesome PA, not too big, not too small. And, you know, now, Live in the Lair, that's one of my favorite venues. In fact, on our radio show, it's literally almost like a live music venue. We have live music every week. This week coming up, we have a double dip. We're going to have Kelsey Miles in the Lair, and then followed by Katie Powderly. Kelsey Miles is just an amazing musician. Moved to Kansas City recently, but coming back here to record. While she's here, she's going to stop in and play
very
for
cool.
us. And then Katie Powderly is a bluegrass musician from the East Coast. Actually, she's from Madison here, but she's an East Coaster now, up and down there. National artist.
That's awesome. And it's every Saturday night from 6 to midnight, right? Max?
That's correct.
Check it out. All right, Rocker, thanks so much for your time tonight, buddy. I appreciate it. Continued success with the show.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. Anytime. So that's Rocker. Check out Max Inc. on Civic Media from 6 to midnight on Saturdays. That is a fun, fun night. You could just kick back the whole night. All right, so we're going to read some more texts when we come back. What is the gift you would pass along and not even think twice about it? What would you re-gift immediately? When I come back, Matt Miller, we're going to tell you guys what to watch over the holidays, what you want to binge watch. We're going to talk about it all. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. Conrad and I just got a lovely gift that I know was not a re-gift from Christy Barlament, who runs this whole operation down here at City Deck, and I think she knows everyone in town. And you text her, and if she doesn't get back to you within like a second, it's like, is everything okay? Like, she's that on it, and she just dropped off very nice gifts for Conrad and me. There's some jerky in there, some honey. I didn't look through the whole thing yet, but thank you, Christy, if you're listening.
Yeah, thank you, Christy.
Yeah, outstanding stuff. And I will not re-gift that. I will say that right now. There will be no re-gifting of the honey and the jerky.
I can say the same.
It sounded obscene. I didn't even say anything bad. So on tomorrow night's show, WRJN morning host on Civic Media here, Don Rosen, will join me. He grew up, we're having kind of a Seinfeld week because Jerry played Milwaukee last weekend, and we talked to the owner of India Garden in Wauwatosa where he ate, got the lowdown on Jerry's order. And then we played some Seinfeld clips yesterday, and tomorrow Don Rosen will come on the show. He grew up with Jerry till they were 13, I think, and he's going to tell us more Jerry Seinfeld stuff. Mike Clemens will be on the show with a sports update, and Wisconsin comedian Tom Clark and his wife Steph Clark, also a comedian, will be here. They're going to play a fundraiser that I book up in Marinette, and they're going to play a Milwaukee date right before that in early February. So they'll be on the program tomorrow night. And Conrad, I've been fighting a sneeze all day. You ever do that?
Yeah.
It's like every time I breathe in, there's like a tickle, and I'm like trying not to sneeze. Because when I sneeze, it's bad. It's like from the toes, man. It's like Richter scale type stuff. And my kids always think I'm just doing that. And I mean, I like to sneeze, but.
Well, if you get it later tonight, bless you in advance.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And if you want to switch gift bags that Christy just gave us, we could do that because it's the same stuff. Anyway, thank you again, Christy. That's very sweet. So now I'm very excited because I want to talk some showbiz. That's what we're doing here on a nightly basis. And there's no one – well, this is one of the guys I like to talk show business with the most. He's a great critic and a great reporter from Milwaukee. Matt Miller joins us. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
Matt, do not re-gift food. That's what we've learned here tonight.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
You can eat it.
I eat the bologna, right? Don't give it to grandma.
Exactly. Exactly. There's nutrients there.
You can. That's a low carb thing, the bologna.
Yeah.
Matt, how are you tonight?
I'm great. I'm actually in the parking lot of a movie theater. I'm going to, as soon as we're done with this chat, I'm going to be seeing one of the new big Christmas releases, the new Aquaman movie.
Oh, or wow.
Maybe, yeah.
That's so cool.
Maybe more mid-sized Christmas releases, how superhero movies are doing these days.
Yeah. Have you seen Godzilla yet?
I have Godzilla Minus One. It is terrific.
God, everybody is saying that.
If I was making a top 10 list today, it would easily be in my top 10, maybe even my top 5. It is. I can't imagine wanting anything else from a monster movie. The monster stuff is tremendous and terrifying.
Wow.
And then the human story is actually really compelling and really, really thoughtfully done. Yeah, I love that movie. That is the best blockbuster of the year, easily.
No kidding. You put it over like Mission Impossible or...
The only other one that I would maybe that I would put above it is like Oppenheimer, but that's like a weird blockbuster. That's like an adult. That's like a drama for adults that tricked everyone into thinking it was a blockbuster in the best way possible.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you said that because, like, you know, I grew up seeing old Godzilla movies. I don't like the huge, crazy CGI blockbusters like Transformers. I don't even know who's fighting who or what's happening. But I love Godzilla, so, and I have heard that a lot of people have said it's really good, so that is going on my list. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's tremendous. I don't know how much longer it'll be in theaters just because there's so much stuff coming out in the next week or two. I believe there's like 10 new movies coming out this weekend alone between the releases coming out today and the releases coming out on Christmas on Monday. So hopefully it sticks around for another week. I think there's still a few theaters holding on to screenings, but it is definitely worth your time. Tremendous movie.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right. That's on the list. Okay. So it's the holidays. I'll mention some of the things I've been watching. When you were on the show a couple weeks ago, did we talk about Lawman Bass Reeves?
I do not believe we did. That's
okay.
What you do. Is that a Paramount Plus show?
It is. It's a Taylor Sheridan show. And I find him about, I'm batting about 500 with him. Was not a huge Yellowstone fan, but I liked Lioness a lot, and I really liked Lawman Bass Reeves.
Yeah, he's like NCIS. Like he makes he makes CBS procedural shows that feel like they're too good to be on CBS. Like they're like, no, we're above that. Yeah,
it's so funny.
He makes fun pulp.
Yeah, you're right. And Tulsa King he did too. So he's got Tulsa King, I have to watch it because Stallone is in it. And any guy who takes steroids into his 80s, I'm going to watch him. But I feel like, you know, he signed this like 12-show deal and he's got to churn them out. And, you know, some of them are like, but this I really did like Lawman Bass Reeves. What else have you been watching, Matt?
I have been preparing for next year's Top Chef Wisconsin. By watching Top Chef from episode one.
I thought you were
going to
say by
Peacock.
Cooking. Okay.
So. Yeah, no. For the sake of my stomach and my wife's stomach, I think that's for the best that I don't.
Okay.
But yeah, we've been rewatching Top Chef from the beginning. And I got to say, that first season of Top Chef is almost unwatchable. It is tremendously difficult to watch. You can tell they were. It's no Padma. It's a different host who is a robot, and
whoa.
It's just you can tell they're figuring out what a food competitive cooking show should be, and so they're still working out the kinks and still figuring out how you get drama and how serious they should take things. It gets better immediately in season two. And it's just really, it's fun to watch. I've been really enjoying that so far on TV. I did watch the new Julia Roberts, Mahershala Ali.
Oh, good. I want to ask you about that.
Leave the World Behind.
How was that?
I am not a fan of that movie.
Okay.
I love the actors. I think Julia Roberts is quite good. I think Mahershala Ali is quite good. I do not like the director of that. Now, the director is Sam Esmail, who most people would recognize. He directed Mr. Robot, if you remember. Oh, yeah. It feels so long ago, but he directed Mr. Robot, the tech hacker TV show. And he just directs a lot of the movie like he really wants you to notice that he's directing it.
Oh,
like,
isn't that
he's
annoying?
Just so, yeah, it's really ever, like, there's all these big set piece moments that you don't even register the set pieces because you're just like, we get it. You're doing cool camera tricks. We get it. You're spinning your drone camera around. It just is so, it's just so much. And it gets in a way of, I mean, listen, you're adapting an award-winning book, my guy. Get out of the way of it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Great point. And Mr. Robot was kind of annoying too. I stuck with that for like an episode and a half because my wife was watching it. I was just like, all right, you know.
Yeah, and that's a big thing with TV directors and people who kind of make their name on TV is when they make their big screen adaptation, they get into like prove it mode where they really want to show that they're totally like should be taken seriously. And they're doing all these big camera moves and all these big obvious kind of film school-y directorial choices. That kind of just makes it feel a little desperate for attention.
I'm talking to Matt Miller. He is the entertainment reporter for onmilwaukee.com and is one of the most informed people I know when it comes to entertainment. Matt, don't you hate that when you've got, like you said, an award-winning book, you've got a movie that's free on Netflix waiting for you in your living room? I always want to like those so much just because of the convenience, you know?
That's the great Netflix problem. The Netflix brand is bad. Like when you talk to people about Netflix original movies, most people, like 90% of Netflix originals are not good movies.
Right.
There's not a lot of quality control at Netflix HQ. They're just chucking money around because they don't care. You know,
right.
As long as they get eyeballs, they don't care. They just want people wasting time on their app. They have Maestro, the new Bradley Cooper movie, big Oscar play that is debuting today. It is on the streaming service right now. They've got quality on there, but some of these swings are not great. And I know a lot of people hate the ending of Leave the World Behind as well too.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it away for people who haven't seen it yet, but the ending I feel like is trying to be a lot darker and bleaker than it actually comes off. It's kind of half baked, I feel like. So, I didn't love that one. Love Leave World. You can leave the world behind.
You can leave Netflix behind. So what are you a fan of the Reacher shows?
You know, I enjoyed the first Tom Cruise Reacher movie. Did not like the second one. And people love the new show.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I had this discussion with Rob Thomas a couple nights ago. Like, I like when there's an action hero who's not like Mr. Steroids or like doesn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone. I like when it's just a regular dude. And Tom Cruise is great. He's just like, in my opinion, he's maybe the greatest movie star ever and a pretty good actor too.
Oh,
like the guy does not make a bad film.
He's the last living movie star right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And what he puts into his films, you have to just respect that. Anyway, having said that, the TV show, the guy who plays Reacher, I understand, I didn't read the books, is closer to the character in the books. He's about 6'6", 300 pounds and not an ounce of fat on him. And he's, but he's thoughtful.
I remember when people were describing when Tom Cruise first said he wanted to make Jack Reacher, the big complaint was from book fans who were like, that is not Jack Reacher at all. Jack Reacher is supposed to be this very imposing, you know, very kind of menacing person who you would not want to run into in a dark alley.
Correct.
And instead it's literally the most notoriously short movie star in Hollywood.
That's so weird too, because I was an English major. I used to be a reader. Now I've been a writer and all that kind of stuff. And I will not read a book. Like if I know it's coming out as a movie, if I like the filmmakers, I'm like, why would I read a book? There are so many more great books to read than there are great movies to see. So I'd rather wait and see the movie, you know?
Yeah, and I always have that hard time of, you know, when you read a book, you envision it in your head. You have this vision of what you think things should look like and how they should play out.
Right.
And it's just always difficult to watch a movie adaptation and try to kind of, you know, give the filmmakers grace to do what they want to do. Because they should do interesting things with the source material. They should interpret it in ways that bring out their own version of the story. You know, a kind of shot by shot adaptation is fine and all, and you know, that's nice. But right. What makes adaptation special is when a filmmaker finds something in source material and makes it bloom. My favorite movie is Children of Men, which is an adaptation. And I think that adaptation really finds a lot of great nuggets in the source material that totally grows it into an even better movie, I would say.
Have you seen, there's a documentary. It's only like 45 minutes long. It's called Long Shot. Have you ever seen that, Matt?
Is that the one on Netflix about the baseball, the guy who goes to the baseball game?
It is so good. And it's
wild.
So you've seen it. Yeah, it's, I've seen it twice because I liked it so much. I showed it to my family. I pulled everyone in. I go, come on, this is 45 minutes. It's like a Law and Order episode. And it's such a feel good, great story. I don't know how that's not more popular.
Yeah, and I definitely want people, like, I would love to tell people more about it, but it is definitely one of those documentaries or one of those movies that the less you know going in, the better, because the twists and turns of this true story are wild. They are insane. And one of them comes so neck-breakingly whiplash-inducing, such a twist.
Right.
I think that's a great little kind of hidden gem. There's so much... to be entirely honest, there's a lot of crappy documentaries out there right now.
They're churning them out.
People should. Yeah, I just read a piece the other day on.
Hey,
IndieWire,
Matt, can you hold on 1 second? Can you give us like 2 or 3 more minutes? We have like 60 seconds of commercials. We'll get you into that movie on time. But I just have a couple more questions for you. This is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight with Matt Miller too. Come back in 60 seconds on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just want to close your eyes, follow your dream down. Tonight's question was, what would you re-gift immediately? And I got a clarification text here from Rico in Rock County. He says, hey, Pete, the Chia Pet is alive and well today. The latest is a Bob Ross version. Happy little trees. Thank you, Rico. I'm talking to Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com. We just gave you a great recommendation for over the holidays, a very short documentary called Long Shot. You're right, Matt. There are a ton of documentaries out there and not a lot of, I think they're churning them out too fast, in my opinion, or there's just too many of them.
Yeah, I just read a piece on IndieWire that actually talked about how, you know, 2019 was a really boom year for documentaries. That was the Free Solo and a lot of really successful documentaries in terms of both reception at the box office, but also critical reception. And right now, with streaming, you're seeing a lot of creative, original documentaries. There's not a lot of takers for them. There's not a lot of people in theaters seeing them and not a lot of theaters taking them. And then you've got these kind of crummy headline chasing documentaries on the streaming networks that are either, you know, kind of tawdry true crime.
Yeah, really cheap true crime.
Yeah, kind of surface level, gossip rag level, you know, kind of documentary stories. Or they're these kind of celebrity profile, shiny, glossy brand extension documentaries that really only exist to kind of varnish a celebrity as opposed to tell an interesting story. And it's kind of a bummer because it did feel like documentary was on the verge of a moment. And then I think, you know, obviously the pandemic happened, movie going changed, and stuff like Tiger King became popular. And people were like, oh, we should make more things like Tiger King. And if there's one thing as a society we should not do, it's make things like Tiger King.
We're in agreement there. Did you see George Clooney doubled down? The other day he said he would not play Batman again. I didn't know there was a big demand for him to play Batman. He was one of the worst Batman movies ever. It got 11% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics, 16% from viewers. I mean, that's terrible.
And then I just want to we need to tell George, let it go.
Like, absolutely.
Every time he does a movie, he apologizes for making Batman and Robin. And you know what? We've moved on. George,
no one cares.
There's
yeah.
been other bad Batman movies since then.
Right. You were in the worst one ever. Just accept it. Move on. Exactly. All right. Two more quick things for you, Matt. Anything else you can recommend over the holidays to listeners?
I have heard tremendous things about The Iron Claw, which is the new Sean Durkin drama about the Von Erich wrestling family. Really good reviews, starring Zac Efron and Jeremy Allen White, a.k.a. from The Bear. It's supposed to be tremendous. Definitely not one if you're looking for a feel-good story. Don't want to spoil anything, but it is a sad saga. But it's supposed to be tremendous. And then if you're looking for something a lot more upbeat, I've heard tremendous stuff about Wonka, which sounds surprising because I think everyone was like, why are we making a Wonka or origin story?
Yeah.
But everything I've heard is great. And it's the director of Paddington 1 and 2. And Paddington 1 and 2 are two of the most charming movies ever made. So if you're looking for some fun for the whole family, I would check out Wonka.
Paddington is so great that in the unbearable weight of massive talent... They made reference to it, which I love. That was one of my favorite parts of the whole movie.
Paddington 2 can make world peace. That is how good Paddington 2 is. It is a lovely movie. Check that. You know what? If you're looking for a movie this holiday season, just rent Paddington 2. It's totally worth
That's
your time.
That's great.
It's a delightful
film. I'm going to do that. Okay, cool. Hey, so Matt, Milwaukee was ranked the fifth most friendly town in America. You're a Milwaukee guy. You've lived there your whole life, right?
I have.
Yeah.
I have.
Do you agree with that? You're a friendly guy.
I think we're pretty friendly. I'd like to think so. I only flip off 7 people a day. I think that's pretty low.
There's a lot of people in Milwaukee. 7 a day is not, it would take you years to cover the whole town at that rate.
Exactly. You know, I think that's a moderate amount. I do think Milwaukee is very friendly. I do think we genuinely live up to the Midwest nice reputation.
Yeah.
So that's nice to see.
That's fantastic, Matt. Go make your movie. Thanks so much for your time, and happy holidays. We'll talk soon, I hope.
Thanks for having me, and a happy holidays to you as well.
Anytime, buddy. All right. So that's Matt Miller from On Milwaukee. Wow. That's a great Paddington. I'm glad. Every once in a while, I hear a movie, and I'm like, yes, I have not seen that yet. And you don't know how it slipped through the cracks, but I'm putting that on my list. Here are your recommendations, folks. I'm going to say these before I consult Conrad, because I want to hear Conrad's too. But Iron Claw from Matt Miller, Lioness and Reacher from Pete Schwabe, two great binge watchers, both kind of butt kickers. Lioness has like these really tough girls doing CIA ops. It's phenomenal. Reacher is fun. It's also kind of a butt kicker. Iron Claw sounds like it's not a feel-good, Matt said, but it's supposed to be pretty good. And we both recommend Long Shot. And I am telling you, it's on Netflix. It's free. It's like 45 minutes long. It is such a feel-good story. I'm probably saying too much because it takes you to a place where you're like, oh, no, but then it comes back. And it's so great. And I'm glad Matt didn't ruin the ending because it is a pretty cool ending. So anyway, check those out. Iron Claw, Long Shot, Reacher, Lioness. Conrad, what do you say? You got a recommendation for the people?
Yeah, so like yesterday, I said Merry, Happy, Whatever. It's on Netflix.
Yeah,
it's a great
happy.
Show.
Merry, Happy, Whatever.
Yeah, yep. Okay. One of my favorite TV shows of all time, How I Met Your Mother. The ending's a little controversial, but it's so fun.
How?
There's just people who don't think it should have ended like that. Mm. Like, yeah.
Well, that's for every show, right?
And then, like many people have said on the show, watch Spirited with Will Ferrell, yeah, Ryan Reynolds. Weird. It's so great. I actually rewatched it yesterday. Still as good as the first time, so... Those are my recommendations.
Okay.
Oh, also, if you like Eddie Murphy, new movie on Prime, Candy Cane Lane.
Is it good?
It's okay. But it's worth a watch.
We have time. I got to look this up.
It's a Christmas movie, you know?
All right. Now you're putting qualifiers out there. And I don't know if... hold on. Let me look this up quick on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, I don't...
Candy Cane. It can't be worse. It can't get better or worse reviews than George Clooney's Batman. Which Matt is right. He keeps bringing it up. All right, Candy Cane Lane. Okay, 45%.
Honestly.
It's not fresh, but it's not terrible.
I thought it was going to be worse than 45%.
Oh, great. And you just recommended it for the whole world.
Because it's Eddie Murphy. You know, it's Eddie Murphy. It's funny. So. I would recommend it.
The best story I heard, Eddie Murphy was telling a story about how, oh, we got to go. We don't have time for an Eddie Murphy story. We'll do that tomorrow night. We'll tell the Eddie Murphy story. And 45% is not bad. I wrote a movie called The Guy Thing. I got like 28%. So I'll take 45. That's genius for me. Hey, this has been fun, folks. I want to thank my guests, Matt Miller, Rocker, and Terry Barr. Great show tomorrow night. Tom and Steph Clark are here. Mike Clemens and Don Rosen from the WRJN Morning Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Pete Schwabe with Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.